How many of you really enjoy getting a surprise gift at Christmas? You just like that. Yeah, sure you do. You like to find out that somebody was thinking of you in a special way. Now, I know how some folks are. You pre-program it. You even pretend that it's a surprise, but you've dropped hints. You've sent letters. You've gotten friends to call and send texts. You posted it on the web. You put pictures on Facebook. If they don't get it by now, and then you go, oh, what a surprise. And one of the things that we need to be reminded of at Christmas is that God is in the business of showing up as God. Sometimes we think, and we mostly operate in life as if God is going to act like us. We think God answers prayers as we would answer prayers. We think that God shows up as we would show up, when we would show up, and the way we would show up. But the thing about Christmas is it's a great time to remember that we don't need God to be us. We need God to be God. We need God to show up as God in our lives and surprise us, because that's what God does. In this past May, a ship went down, a tugboat actually went down in the deep Atlantic, and with five crew on board, and at a nearby oil rig, divers were sent from the oil rig out on a rescue mission to recover the five bodies of the deceased men who were on the tugboat when it went down. The diving was monitored by another vessel nearby, and with video cameras and audio underwater, the divers went down and found the ship about 100 feet down, and they began to pull the bodies out of the wreckage. And they found four bodies within, and they knew there was one more, a man named Harrison O'Keeney. And Mr. O'Keeney's body they hunted for and they looked for. And finally, on video, it showed as a diver went in to look for that body, he found Mr. O'Keeney deep inside where there had been an air pocket inside the tug when it had overturned and sunk to the bottom. And Mr. O'Keeney was just sort of floating there, so the diver went in to recover body number five, and when he reached out his hand to grab Mr. O'Keeney's hand, Mr. O'Keeney grabbed him. After 72 hours, 100 feet underwater, he was alive. For 72 hours, he prayed to God, he recited psalms that his wife had taught him, and prayed that God would send a rescue. You think he was surprised at the rescue? How do you think the guy felt that reached out to grab him? And on audio and video, the words after the diver gasped out loud, then he said in shock and joy, "It's a survivor. He's alive." Sometimes we are in the midst of our routine. We're going about our business. It may be a dull business. It may be a despairing business. But we're going about business as usual, and God surprises us. And sometimes God's ways are so surprising, our initial response is shock. It may even be fear. We didn't expect God to do that. We didn't expect a prayer to be answered this way. But suddenly we realize that there is joy, and it unfolds before us what God has in mind and what God's intent was all along. We're going to meet a man this morning that experienced just that as we continue in our series this Christmas. The series is called Don't Be Afraid, because what these characters have in common, for each one of them, the message of God shows up in the angel, and the angel says to each individual, do not be afraid, and tells them why. And for each one, the reason not to be afraid is a little bit different. So look with me again this morning at Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 1, and find verse 5. Luke chapter 1 and verse 5. So we visit another character of the Christmas story. This one in particular finds out that as God answers his prayer, he is first shocked to learn of the answer, and then later overjoyed as it unfolds in God's perfect plan. The man's name is Zechariah. He is a priest of God at the temple. And in the scene that we're going to read, Zechariah, his wife is Elizabeth, and Zechariah and Elizabeth have been praying for a child all their lives. And they have been disappointed in that prayer. Let's just be honest. Some of us knows how that feels. We pray for one thing, or in one way, we desire one thing of God, and it seems as if those prayers just hit the ceiling. And after a while, we get weary of it. Should we keep praying that prayer, keep praying that way? Are we doing something wrong? Should we do something different? Zechariah and Elizabeth no doubt felt that way, but in his faithfulness to God, Zechariah serves as a priest at the temple. And on this particular day, by God's providence, he is drawn to be the one who goes into the deeper area of the temple, the Holy of Holies, to minister at the altar for God's people. He would probably only get to do this one time in his whole life, as it was an honor, and it was done not by rotation, but by drawing lots, that is, just drawing out names or numbers to see who would get to do that. And this was his day. This was his opportunity. Huge honor. Elizabeth must have been so proud. His family is so proud, and he is terrified. Because this is the day you don't mess up. As he goes into the greatest symbol of the presence of Almighty God, the very altar, the holy place, the enclosure, where all that symbolizes God is present. And this is how Luke tells the story. Chapter 1 and verse 5. In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest of Abijah's division named Zechariah. His wife was from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Now what that tells us is Elizabeth is also of priestly descent. These are two godly, devout people. Both were righteous in God's sight, living without blame according to the commands and requirements of the Lord. But they had no children because Elizabeth could not conceive, and both of them were well along in years, which is a nice way of saying they were old. When his division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, it happened that he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. At the hour of incense, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside. An angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and overcome with fear, but the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, because your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. There will be joy and delight for you, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will never drink wine or beer. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit while still in his mother's womb. He will turn many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the disobedient to the understanding of the righteous, to make ready for the Lord and a prepared people." "How can I know this?" Zechariah asked the angel, "for I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." We'll stop there in the reading, but listen, pay attention. The angel says, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah." Why? "Because your prayer has been heard." And we're not told a lot about Elizabeth and Zechariah on the front end, other than they were righteous and holy people, other than they were both descendant into the priesthood, which tells us a great deal about their position before the people of God. They would have been a well-respected couple. And yet the one thing that they had prayed for all their lives, the one prayer they desired the most, had never been answered. Clearly, it was not because they were not godly people. It was not because they weren't in right relationship with the Lord. It was not because they were dishonorable or disrespectful. These were the kind of people that everybody looked to. Everybody wanted to be like them. And all their lives, everyone had known they had been praying all their lives for a child. And that prayer had never been answered. And here Zechariah shows up, late in life, performing his priestly duty, and God sends his angel to tell him this one thing: "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard." Do not be afraid, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. I think implicit in that statement from the angel is something we all feel at the core of our being. I have prayed this prayer, God, for years. I have brought it to the altar. I have examined my soul. I have prayed with others. I've asked the church to pray about this, God. And deep in my heart, this is the yearning of my heart, and I have prayed this for years. Why don't you answer this prayer? Could it be something's wrong with me. I think that deep inside, when we're in that position, and you know it, if you've been there, if you're one of those that prayer lingers and you're weary from praying it, you know it, that deep inside you have to wonder, God, is it me? I'm afraid something's wrong with me. I'm afraid that I'm not praying right, that I don't know enough about God, that I'm not faithful enough, that I'm not righteous enough, that I'm not good enough, that for some reason God has abandoned me of all people. I'm afraid. I think that's Zechariah's first fear. Zechariah's second fear is when the angel of God shows up. Now that's a terrifying thing. Zechariah's third fear follows the second fear. The angel of God tells him, your prayer has been heard. What does that mean? What's God about to do? We are a strange thing, human beings. We're scared if God doesn't answer, and we're scared if he does. We're afraid that God doesn't love us enough to answer our prayers. Then we're afraid that if he answers our prayers, it won't be the way we want him to. That's why he's God and we're not. Zechariah, do not be afraid. God knows you. God loves you. God's with you. God has heard your prayer. And then the angel unfolds the answer. I want you to follow this with me for just a moment, because there's some things we learn about the way God answers prayer and Zechariah's experience. And I know for me, I need to hear this, and I believe for all of us, we need to be reminded of these things. Regularly reminded. Zechariah certainly needed to be reminded of them. So look at this with me a little more closely. Things we need to learn, truths about the way God answers prayer. First of all, prayer is answered in God's timing. Prayer is answered in God's timing. What links Elizabeth and Zechariah to this moment is their fidelity to God. The first thing we are told about Zechariah and Elizabeth is that they have lived faithfully and devoted to Almighty God in practice, in person, and in private. They are righteous and faithful people, and that's what that terminology means. And secondly, because of their righteousness and their faithfulness to God, they are exactly where God wants them to be when he's ready to talk to them. They are exactly in the right place doing the right thing that God has asked them to do all of their lives when he is going to intrude on their mundane lives, on their regular discipleship, on their living day by day. He's going to intrude on it. He's going to show up and he's going to tell them, your prayer has been heard today. The lesson, keep loving God, keep trusting God, keep being faithful to God, and in God's timing, God will show up. You and I, we don't get to pick that timing. That's up to God. We don't get to pick the answer to prayer, when he answers the prayer, how he answers the prayer, but you can trust God to do right, and God expects us to live for him, day by day, in and out, be faithful to God. Our fidelity to God doesn't hinge on the circumstances. It doesn't hinge on whether or not we understand what God is doing, if he's going to answer the prayer, how he's going to answer the prayer, whether he's going to answer it the way we want it answered. Our fidelity to God doesn't hinge on that. It hinges simply on the fact that God came to us in Jesus Christ. God loves us and we can trust our God. He has saved us from our sins. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Timing is everything to God. God knows your life, he knows your path, and God answers prayers in keeping with his timing. Such an important thing to remember for those of us who have held out so long for the same prayer, prayed the same thing for so long. But you know what you've got to understand is that God sees your life from an eternal perspective. Not in this moment in time that we call our lives. God sees your life from an eternal perspective. And the first thing God wants to make sure happens in your life, you understand the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. That's the first thing God wants you to understand, because the first prayer God wants to answer is when you cry out to God to save you from your sins. God will answer that prayer and give you eternal life. Then God begins to lead you along the path God has for you and for your life as you submit to Him. As you live for Him, as you're faithful to Him, whatever the circumstances might bring, you're faithful to God. The Bible says to never give up hope, never grow weary, but keep doing good, because in due time, we will reap what God has in store for us. It's all in God's timing. So God answers prayers in His timing, but second, God answers prayers by His power. By God's power, prayers are answered. Zechariah in the temple is reminded that what's about to happen is only what God could do. And if he had to be convinced of that, that's one of the things about God's timing. Elizabeth, Zechariah, they've been waiting all their lives now in their old age, their past childbearing years. There is no way natural. There is no way Zechariah and Elizabeth could themselves answer their own prayer. God showed up in His timing to answer it by His power. See, God is not terribly interested in what you and I can do on our own. God wants us to experience His power in our lives. And sometimes the delay is so that God can get us where we need to be, where we have stopped depending on ourselves to take care of ourselves. God says, well, as long as you're doing that, why do you need me? I'll just hold back a bit. God says, surrender to Him, submit to Him, let God work in your life. From the very simple, as Jesus said, He's counted every hair on your head. God knows the food and the clothes you need. God knows everything. The question is, do you know God? God wants you to experience His power. Sometimes those prayers are long delayed so you can know God better. You know, every instance in Scripture when an individual is at the end of their rope, they're at that point at which they have no other answers, God shows up and does something only God could do. Lays out His plan, answers that prayer, moves them forward. And the right response immediately is reverent fear. All we can do is worship God when He shows up in His power. Americans this Christmas, about a little over 70% of us will receive at least one gift card for Christmas. Did you know that? No big surprise. At least one gift card to a department store or a restaurant. Last year, the average American left on the shelf $300 worth of those gift cards. Never spent them, never used them, never redeemed them. From 2005 to 2011, $41 billion in gift cards were never redeemed in America. Just sitting on the shelf. All that value, and nobody exercised it. Nobody participated in it. All that value available. And they paid for their own meals. And they bought their own clothes. They did it all on their own without picking up that gift card. God has all the power of God available to you and me. And we say, that's all right, God, I got it. I'll take care of it, God. I'll do it my way, God. I'll answer my own prayers, God. And if you don't answer them my way, I'll just doubt you. But when God answers our prayers, He does it by His power. He wants you to know Him better. He wants you to see Him work. Then third, another thing to learn about prayer from Zechariah and Elizabeth's story is that when God answers prayer, prayer is answered for God's purpose. For God's purpose. This is a difficult one for us to take because our assumption is when we're praying a prayer about us, the answer should be for us. Correct? I mean, it should be something God wants to do for us. But again, God shows up in his timing, and God exercises his power so you and I can learn more about him and his power. But God also has his purposes in mind. As Zechariah learns right there, this prayer that he thought was just about conceiving a baby was about God's plan for the universe, God's plan for history. And God didn't want him just to have a baby. God wanted him to have a history-altering child. And all of God's timing and all of God's power was pointed in that direction. So God shows up to tell Zechariah about his baby. The baby that he and Elizabeth will have is far beyond what they could have imagined. Far more than they could have done with him just in the priesthood. God has a plan for this baby, and that baby's plan plugs into God's overall purpose for history. You and I look at our lives, we've got our lives like small projects with each task along the way. And when we hit a bump in the road or something we don't like or something we need or something we want, we pray to God and say, God, I need this in my life. But again, God sees our lives and our history in an eternal perspective. God says, I have great purposes for you. And my answer to your prayer will impact everybody around you, everybody in your family, everybody you know. So God says, I want to answer your prayer in keeping with my purpose, and I want to see, let you see that purpose unfold. Not just for you. It's not just about you. It's about God's purposes, what God desires, what God wants to do in your life. God's purposes are masterfully planned for you and me. And God knows exactly what he wants to do in your life. You have those prayers you are weary of praying. Long time you've been at the altar. Long time on the side of your bed. You've been praying those prayers for so long. God has a plan. And God wants to answer your prayers in keeping with his plan. But you know, the thing about it, it all comes down to this. Do we really trust God? Do we trust God? If that prayer goes unanswered, the way we want it answered, is it drawing us nearer to him, deeper in relationship to him? Because that's what God wants. More than anything, God wants to deepen that relationship with you. He wants to know you better. He wants to surprise you with more than just an answer to prayer. God wants to surprise you with himself. He wants you to know him like you've never known him before. Prayer is designed to draw you into that relationship more deeply with God so you'll know him even better. Bring to him your needs. Keep praying. Don't grow weary. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. The internet is full of wonderful videos of soldiers being reunited with their families. But Fox News posted one this past week. I watched it about three times. I love it. Unfortunately, they never named the names of the family or the soldier, never gave us those specifics, but it's a great image and a great picture. So I'm going to try to describe it to you because I know how much it means to you when I describe stuff to you. Three kids think that they're going to see Santa at the mall, and it's one of those cheesy displays with Santa's there. He's got a fake fireplace behind him and the trees over here. And these kids are interviewed by the newscasters when they're in line to see Santa at the mall. Now, what they don't know is the newscasters are already in on what's about to happen. But the newscasters are interviewing them. What do you want for Christmas? What do you want for Santa? Three kids. The youngest is a boy. There's a little girl in the middle. Then there's an older girl. Three siblings. And the first two say something about presents, what they would like for Santa to give them. And the oldest girl, though, she says, I'd like to see my daddy at Christmas. So they get up on Santa's lap and they tell Santa what they want for Christmas, and then Santa says, well, wait here just a minute, and has them stand down right in front of him. And just about then he says something like, I can give you this present. Here it is this Christmas. He steps back and down the chimney comes Dad. You gotta love that. And they have right there this grand reunion because the kids got not only what they thought they wanted for Christmas, they got what they needed for Christmas. you and I show up at Christmas and we're just blinded by the lights and the gifts and the commercialism and the Santas and the Christmas trees and the fake chimneys and the real chimneys. It's all in front of us, and to us, Christmas is sort of ho-hum, business as usual. We're just doing what we normally do. You know what God's doing? God's saying, I'd love to surprise you. Because what you need, more than what you want, what you need is God. And God wants to surprise you with His power, and God wants to surprise you with His presence, and God wants you to know how much He loves you this Christmas. So this might be the year that you need to come to Christ for the very first time. Give your heart to Christ. Let Him work in your life. Let Him forgive you of your sins. Let Him give you that resurrection power in your life to live by. If you've already done that, this might be the Christmas you need to bring that prayer one more time to God and say, God, I trust You. I might not understand all this, God, but I know You love me and I trust You. And this Christmas, God, I just want to know You better. It may be that you need to come home to the Lord. You've wandered off. Long ago, you made a decision for Christ. You made a big promise to follow Him. Now you're at the end of 2013 and you realize nothing has changed. Say, what I need to do is be faithful to God. And this is your year just to come home to Him. Maybe that's you. But you know how God is speaking to you. You know what God has put on your heart. You know what God's saying to you this morning. In just a moment, I'm going to invite you to respond to the Lord, just as He is calling you to respond. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we come to this time of response to God, I pray for each of us in this room. Our hearts will be open, Father, to what You want to do in our lives. Father, I want to pray for the hurting. I want to pray for those whose prayers have been raised for so long, God. I want to pray, Father, for those who are weary from the struggles. And Father, this morning, You would take away that burden. This morning, God, You would take away that concern that You may have forgotten us, that fear that we have that You don't know where we are or what we're going through. God, take all that away. Remind us this morning how much You love us, how much You care for us, God, that this trial, this struggle, Father, doesn't mean You've left us, God, that this is a place You can strengthen us, Father. And I pray, God, You would strengthen us, You would give us courage, give us confidence in this moment, whatever we're going through. Father, I pray that the one in here who doesn't know Christ would come to Jesus this morning. I pray for the believer, God, who has long ago wandered off, God, that they would come back and be faithful to You, that 2014 would be different because they come home to Christ. I pray for our children. I pray for our grandchildren, God. I pray for our brothers and sisters. I pray for our loved ones this Christmas, God. I pray those who don't know Christ would come to Christ today. Father, I just pray we would respond to Christ just as You're calling us to respond. Father, if we need to come back to the altar and lift up that prayer again, God, I pray we do that today. If we need to come back to You, Father, to strengthen that relationship, I pray we would do that today. Whatever decision, Father, You put on our hearts, God, show us what to do. Draw us near to You, and may we yield our will to You this morning. God, we open up this time of response to You, and I just pray, Father, the Holy Spirit would work as He pleases in our midst, that we would respond to Christ today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand with me. We're going to sing together, and as we